and you're listening to La Onda Bajita. This is 94.1 KPFA Berkeley, 89.3 KPFB Berkeley, 88.1 KFCF in Fresno, and online at kpfa.org. Stay tuned for La Onda Bajita.
Change makers. Dropping conciencia and consejos like the U.S. government as soldiers. We don't just report the news, we make the news. Flipping the script on your mind as we are making changes in La Onda Bajita, dropping pearls on Pacifica Radio. This is not just KPFA, this is Radio Liberación. We don't fake the funk, can't pull no punches, porque ya llegamos y no nos vamos. Mi gente, aquí estamos, y en esta lucha, todo lo logramos.
¡Chicano!
FM in Berkeley, with KFCF at 88.1 FM in Fresno, Califas. Yo soy Gabriela Molina coming at you live with La Onda Bajita's Radio del Barrio Aslan. Here, tonight, we take it back to La Noche. So open up your mentes to a truly unique experience in Radio Landia, where a new world, a new vision, a new citizen is possible. Cruise with us as we take it from rock to revolution. Ritmo hasta la resistencia con la voz del pueblo del sol. Aquí no más. FM, firme y más. We are La Onda Bajita's crew. We march, we protest, and we report. We are MPR Radio Comunitario. Orale, and we're coming at you live tonight from Santa Rosa, North Bay, California, here in the casa, in the old new college facility. Tonight we got quite a lineup here, from 8 to 8:30. We got, La Onda Verde's, 420 Café, with myself and Alacran as your host, and a very special guest here tonight with us, here, one of the activists and advocates of this issues we're going to be touching upon that will affect everybody in California and the rest of the country, and that is we're going to be looking at Proposition 19. And besides that, from 8:30 to 9, we're going to be opening it up to local issues here, and at 9 o'clock we have Voz Mechista with Argelio Giron and the Mecha crew coming in. And from 9:30 to 10, we're going to be again talking with Mr. Chuch and throwing out some music out there. So stay tuned esta noche. We're going to take just a little break here, take it back to Mr. Chuch and some música, and we'll be coming at you in a couple of minutes. Órale.
Is in the billions is coming from your country. You see, you are the major purchaser of our national product, which is, of course, cocaine.
On one hand, you're saying the United States government is spending millions of dollars to eliminate the flow of drugs onto our streets. At the same time, we are doing business with the very same government that is flooding our streets with cocaine.
Mm-hmm. See. Let me show you a few of the other characters that are involved in this tragic comedy.
on the border of Bolivia, working for pennies, treated like a slave with poker fields. Have to be ready. The spirit of my people is starving, broken and sweaty, dreaming about revolution, looking at my machete. But the workload is too heavy to rise up in arms, and if I ran away, I know they'd probably murder my moms. So I pray to Jesucristo when I go to the mission, process the cocaine paste and play my position.
Okay, listen, while I'm out there, just get me my product before we chop off your hands for workers' misconduct and not get charged. And it would be sad to see your family in front of a firing squad. So to feed your kids, I need these bricks. 40 tons in total, let me test it. Indeed, this is good. Pass me a tissue and don't worry about them. I paid off the official.
Yo, it don't come as a challenge. I'm the son of some of the foulest, elected by my people. The only one on the ballot, born and bred to consort with feds. I laugh at fate in a third world fashion state. Block the nation with 90% of the wealth and 10% of the population. A central intelligence agency takes weight faithfully to find a type of China white and cocaine you'll see.
Honey, I'm home. Never mind when your bank account suddenly grown. It's funny, we're so out of this debt for this money we owe with ya. When have I told you that I had two governments overthrown to keep our son enrolled in a private school and to keep our tummy swollen? Come on, your home was built on a foundation of bloody throats, the hungry stolen of their souls. Of course this country's running coke. I took a stunning oath to hush the ones who know. The CIA conducts the flow for these young hustlers that lust for dough.
Work in the hood, hit my connect. That's what's really good, and supply work to the hood. These shoes crack me up, scrutinize like we inferior. Specify when we meet in my area. My people will shoot till I say so. You got the loot, give me the yay, yay. Like ice troops, so don't play with my yay, yo. We won't stop you, get my streets family, stop it and bag it.
Taking pictures and tapping phones, debating snitches and cracking codes. Fast the cuff or blast the foe on any hustler stacking dough to pump the crack or blow. And my overtime is where your taxes go. Or gain your trust, get you the hand wave to us, cause we paid up front on the low with cameras taping you. Getting pop away, the prison sentences doom. Make the collar to leave with two keys
out the evidence room.
With my fame, truck, boat, or plane, they watching you. Uh-huh. You think you got work? They copping too. We control blocks, they lock countries and own companies. We had nice cars and sneaker money. Now it's players out there talking about they holding. Put bumps in their house like they down south with windows open. Yeah, though ain't long, you wrong, you take shorts and spoons. Better be up in your mouth like forks and spoons. So enjoy the rush, live plush off coke bread. Soon you'll be in a cell with me. Coke players do favors for governors and tax makers. Fat Quakers smoke crack and sex acts with bad mayors. The walls got ears, you big mouths probably scared. Not prepared to do years like Javier.
The story just told is an example of the path that drugs take on their way to every neighborhood and every state in this country. So when they point the finger at you, brother man, this is what you gotta tell them.
I'm not guilty.
But a little immortal technique there. You're listening to La Onda Bajita's Radio del Barrio Aslan's feature presentation of the 420 Café. Myself with Alacran here bringing you the latest on what's up around the marijuana cannabis legalization movement and the lifting of prohibition. And tonight we also recognize the 200th anniversary, day after of the Mexican independence and also Chilean independence from 200 years of Spanish colonial rule. We are celebrating that tonight and dedicating the show to those efforts. And of course, we still have a battleground here in California as we're trying to pass this humane law, California Proposition 19. And we have here a special guest esta noche, Omar Figueroa, who's one of the foremost advocates here in Northern California and throughout the state, looking at this whole proposition here. Welcome to tonight's show, Omar, and Alacran. It's good to have you in La Casa again. And pero as we're talking here, you can hear the drum beats outside as the Mixteca drums are signifying the end of today and despedida, the goodbye to the father-son. Welcome to tonight's show. And Omar, you've been doing a lot of work here behind the scenes and, you know, lifting the prohibition of the marijuana, you know, that's happening here. Tell us a little bit about what is this proposition and what impact is this going to have to the general public and particularly the Latino and communities of color.
Proposition 19 would repeal cannabis prohibition for the possession by people aged 21 and over of less than an ounce of marijuana. It would also allow for personal cultivation in 25 square feet. And the meaning this would have for the Latino population is that it would remove the criminalization of a large number of Latinos who choose cannabis over alcohol.
Well, tell us, you know, besides that, is this going to affect not just medicinal, but also what about recreational? And what about, does it have like an age restriction? I mean, what happens when, let's say, a 16-year-old doesn't want to do the chemical treatments? Well, to be exceptions to the law, because I think the law right now that's being proposed is that it's for adult use.
Yes, the law is for adult recreational use, but it will also impact adult spiritual use. Currently, under state law, we only have a defense of medical use. There is no spiritual or religious defense under state law. And so the law would provide religious protection to people who use cannabis spiritually or religiously. And currently, the law does recognize that a certain religion, the Rastafarian religion, out of Jamaica, is recognized under federal law. This would provide coextensive protection under state law.
Bailando afuera. Mira, una de las preguntas que mucha de la gente quiere saber es qué va a pasar en México si esta ley pasa.
Si esta ley pasa, en México va a haber un diálogo increíble, porque el presidente de México ha dicho que si esta ley pasa, es tiempo que en México y en otros países en toda América Latina podemos hablar de legalizar las drogas para cambiar la situación legal. Esto es lo que está dando dinero a los carteles.
Bueno, entonces, ¿cuál porcentaje del dinero que los carteles agarran es de la marihuana ilegal, creada ilegalmente?
Es difícil estimar, pero piensa que por lo menos el 50% es la marihuana ilegal. Es como la prohibición del alcohol, que esto es lo que mantiene los carteles ilegales. La prohibición causa el crimen, no es al revés.
Bueno, y hablando de los carteles, cada vez que el gobierno y acá en el norte han matado a cinco este año, cinco tendientes o moteros en los jardines, y el gobierno aquí en los Estados Unidos está saliendo con la dicha que están poniendo muy violento la gente que está en los jardines y por eso los tienen que matar. Pero la verdadera cosa es que los policías han sido los únicos que han matado a cualquier persona, y más están diciendo que son carteles, pero no pueden decirle cuál cartel es y por qué siempre con la misma tema, el cartel mexicano, pero no dicen cuál cartel.
Sí, porque eso se me hace para mí que es una ficción total. Estos originalmente probablemente no eran de carteles, estos eran cultivadores independientes que se iban a la sierra a crecer para poder sobrevivir económicamente y ser independientes, no tener que estar trabajando en los campos como unos esclavos. Pero después de que las noticias y la media ya dijo que los carteles están cultivando en las sierras y en los parques nacionales en Estados Unidos, eso le dio la idea a los carteles que tal vez deberían de explorar eso, porque así no tienen que estar transportando y a través de la frontera.
Bueno, pero entonces el gobierno está diciendo ahorita que hay un cartel que está trabajando en las montañas, hay que decir, aquí en el norte de Mendocino, pero nunca han dicho cuál cartel. So, están usando la palabra cartel como para asustar a la gente, que no, como dijiste, que es algo falso, pero también es algo que está ayudando a la gente que se voltee uno contra los otros. Los americanos que crecen siempre tienen miedo al mexicano ahora.
Es verdad, y hay mucha discriminación en los parques nacionales. Por ejemplo, en el Parque Nacional de Mendocino, yo conozco a un compadre que tiene un teocalli y tiene muchas reuniones estilo aztecas, llegan razas de toda California, de todo el mundo a celebrar las antiguas tradiciones, y muchas veces los que trabajan ahí, los guardias del Bosque Nacional, piensan que estas personas son moteros, que ellos van a cultivar en vez de que van, lo que de veras van a Teocalli a celebrar.
¿Y eso qué les pasa a la gente? ¿Los arrestan?
Los detienen, los buscan, los acusan de ser moteros y nada más los están molestando.
Well, you know, this brings up a real interesting topic. So, como estamos diciendo right now en español, estamos diciendo de los carteles y las mentiras, or the lies that are being spread, the xenophobia, for lack of better words, on Mexican peoples, even if they're not growing in the national forest, just by merely visiting a national forest.
Absolutely. There's a discrimination, and it takes the form of racial profiling against Latino and, you know, copper-skinned people.
So if you have a Sinaloa hat on, you're most likely going to get pulled over in a national forest.
That's right. But if you look like a good old boy, no problem.
I see. And now we were talking about Mendocino in particular, because there is that the homestead there, you know, where the Aztec ceremonies go on, and they happen frequently, correct?
That's correct.
Yeah. Let's take a little musical break, and we'll be right back with Omar Figueroa, activist attorney, working here now in Sonoma County, but I guess probably because your job brought you here, right?
That's right.
Hey, man, check this out. I got the best Kush ever, man.
Oh, man, I've been so out. Oh, you got sent from heaven. All right, man, light it up, Holmes.
Okay, check it out, man.
Pass me that locker.
Can I get a hit of that man, please? Quit ball guarding.
The original Dr. Green Thumb, the rest of liars. I'm the one with the prescription to get you higher. I got every type of weed that you might desire. Go ahead, fire it up, maybe you can get inspired. Any kind of flavor you savor, I can do you the favor. Just as long as you share with your niggas. Some like sour D, that's an East Coast way. But on the West Coast, we all know Kush is queen. Some of y'all will smoke anything but me, I'm picky. I throw it out if I don't see that it's green and sticky. No stress, no bush, I'm pushing the Kush. When I harvest, put a K on the back, like the Nike swoosh. All over the world, in case you wonder, I smoke everywhere I went. They call me the weed hunter. But no one does it better like we do in Cali. That's one of my patients, cause they always tell me that the
A-U-S-H keeps us so high. A-U-S-H keeps us so high. The more I smoke, the higher I get, the better I feel. I can't quit. The more I smoke, the higher I get, the better I feel. I can't quit.
Cottonmouth King up down with us. Snoop Dogg and Dre up down with us. Chong, they're down with us. But the DEA, they can get on the Hot Times cover. You might see us taking hits from the bong with the 8-foot song. With weed so strong to knock out King Kong. Hit it one good time, your mind's gone. Your eyes get red and your mouth goes dry. Just hit me when you want more and all supply. Red and mess, then let's get stoned. I said how high? They said high enough to touch God and kiss the sky. That's a tall order, but I think I got what you need. I got the food for thought and I'm ready to feed. So follow my lead, I got the gifts to bring. It's the everyday life of the Reaper King.
A-U-S-H keeps us so high.
One of the best on 13. The Latin American countries that liberated themselves today from Spanish colonial rule. In the background you hear the drum, the Mexica Maya drum. There's ceremony going on in the parking lot as the despedida, as the goodbyes to the sacred. with sun, because her dark days coming. Dias oscuros de la raza, to those of the brown skin indigenous of these continents. But we're celebrating our independence, and esta noche, you're listening to Longa Bajita's Radio del Barrio Aslan's special feature presentation of La Onda Verde's 42420 Cafe. And we got a lacran here along with our special guest Homer Figueroa, one of the most important legal advocates here in the North Bay and throughout California. Welcome, Alacran and Omar.
All right. Omar, we were talking about what was happening in the National Forest a minute ago, and then after the musical break we had a kind of a funny moment there with Cheech is coming on in that track, and Cheech has been, like the figure for Chicanos as the number one, head, the number one, stoner in Chicano figure. And so, we've always laughed it off, like it's funny, but the reality is there's a lot of raza that's ended up in jail or ended up in prison. Because even Paris Hilton wasn't exempt from the smell of marijuana and got her in trouble. So is that what we really need to, advocate this law of Prop 19 that's coming up, is so that we can, how can I put it, so we can shy away from this prohibition and move on to...
Yes, I think if Prop 19 passes, it's going to start a dialogue. And the dialogue is not going to be just in California or in the United States. It's a global dialogue that the presidents of Mexico, the former presidents of Mexico, have invited permission to start debating legalization. But that permission has to be granted by us, the people of California. We have to give the world permission to start thinking and talking about alternatives to prohibition.
And this prohibition, why has it been, so steadfastly fought back by the federal government? Is it the asset forfeitures that marijuana people have? Is that what really is the money? Is it the money?
Yeah, it's the money partly drives it. And the other part, I think, is that it's a lot easier to go after calm, tranquil cannabis offenders than it is to go after real criminals. So the police will naturally go after the low-hanging fruit because they're not dangerous, they're not going to start shooting, they're peaceful and compliant.
And so now, with that in mind, now we have a trend in some of the larger cities and some of the smaller communities where, the city governments, they're looking for, how to fill their coffers and how to collect some taxes. And so they're actually sponsoring cannabis businesses. And first it was, dispensary type businesses, and now they're going into grow ops and trying to figure out how's that going to play out as far as, let's say the city of Oakland.
Well, the city of Oakland supposedly is going to give out 4 dispensary permits costing $250,000 each. It's all going to be constrained by federal action, because if Obama does not get reelected, the tolerance for medical marijuana may not be there in the next administration. So it is all very political right now. If Prop 19 passes, it is not a medical legalization initiative. It's a recreational adult legalization initiative. And thus far, the federal policy is uniform. Adult marijuana prohibition must go on unless it's tolerated for medical use.
But when you say it's tolerated for medical use, but we still get headlines, every week about a dispensary somewhere in California being raided, or in some of the other medical states like Nevada or Michigan. I mean, so how is the administration getting away with saying that they're going to leave medical alone and yet they're raiding? Is the word not getting down to the street level?
I think the word is not getting down on the street level, and partly people are not organizing to call the Obama administration to account. So he's getting a pass, whereas a Republican administration might get called on it.
And in that sense, so when there is, let's say, a raid like there was this week in El Centro, what would people, what would be the ideal thing that we would want for people to do? I mean, besides calling the administration, do you go and call, you know, your local reps? You call your county, you call your sheriff? I mean, how do people defend themselves when they lose a provider?
One good way to defend themselves is by using their bodies in direct action, physically showing up to the raid site. What happened, for example, with Women's Alliance for Medical Marijuana when the DEA agents kidnapped Mike and Valerie Corral, and all of the patients who were members of WAM rushed to the garden site and did a blockade and would not allow the DEA to leave. And the DEA had to call the Santa Cruz County Sheriff's for protection from all of these sick and dying patients. Well, that's direct action by the patients. And that caused the DEA to release Mike and Valerie Corral instead of arresting them and charging them in federal court. And so many times these uncommon acts of bravery by ordinary people standing up and putting their bodies on the line make all the difference. And that's what's required.
And so how about the city of Los Angeles, just to touch on one of the cities that's trying to outlaw and ban dispensaries when 420 says that they're okay, and you know SB 420 has already mandated in that they're not nuisance and they don't fall under nuisance laws.
Well, Steve Cooley is now running for Attorney General of California. He is the District Attorney of Los Angeles County, and if he gets elected, he's running against Kamala Harris, who's the current District Attorney of San Francisco City and County. If Cooley gets elected, he's probably going to initiate a witch hunt against all medical marijuana dispensaries statewide, not just limited to Los Angeles. So there's a lot at stake in this election.
So Cooley is not cool.
Cooley is not cool. And so there's two green reasons to go out and vote in November. Prop 19 and Cooley is not cool.
And yeah, so and we see in both of the cities the types of the atmosphere, like we see in San Francisco with the dispensaries and how they work and how the city's worked with them, how they've, you know, initiated the regulations and how everybody's gone into compliance or is trying to get in compliance. And in Los Angeles, we see the opposite, where they're trying to eliminate as many as possible. And do you think that's coming from the DA's office?
I think it is, and also the city attorney's office. And what's behind it all is probably the California Narcotic Officers Association and the Prison Guards Union, who don't want to see any penal reform whatsoever.
Jobs are at stake for them, and that's the bottom line in this war, is that the war on the medical marijuana patient, the war on the recreational user, is a constant battle for freedom.
And cannabis prohibition also allows for the erosion of our constitutional rights. So by repealing cannabis prohibition, we will gain a lot of rights.
And that's where 19 falls in. So so this election, Prop 19 and the Kamala Harris vote are going to go hand in hand for anyone that's interested in this topic. From what we've learned today, another point that we haven't really touched upon is what the ramifications if Prop 19 doesn't pass.
If Prop 19 doesn't pass, it could take a lot of steam out of the cannabis reform movement, not just in California, but in other states. If Prop 19 passes, it's going to ignite attention in the issue. And, you know, I have a lot of reservations about Prop 19. It is far from perfect, but I do think it is a baby step in the right direction. And even though I had drafted another competing initiative that did not get on the ballot, we didn't have $1 million to pay for signature gathering, I still think that a small incremental reform is better than no reform whatsoever. And I do support Prop 19. And as soon as it passes, it's going to allow a debate so that we can improve upon it.
Yeah, the same thing happened with some of the other propositions in the other states. In Washington, I know that they were short on signature gathering, and that's really become the proposition has really become, you know, who has the money to back it up and put it on the ballot. I think we should take a musical break. You can hear the danza outside, and we'll be right back. I'll take it back to the mothership.
flooded in white powder. Running away from the Twin Towers. Gunshots rock the earth like a meteor shower. Bowling for Columbine Fair, giving the media power. Innocence devoured like a chicken spot snack box. Government cocaine cooked in the ghetto crack rock. Corrupt cops, false testimony at your arraignment. Check to check, constant struggle to make the payments. Working your whole life wondering where the day went. The subway stays packed like a multicultural slave ship. It's rush hour, 2:30 to 8, non-stopping. And people coming home after corporate sharecropping. They're trying to feed children, but gentrification is kicking them out of their building. A generation of babies born without health care. Families homeless, thrown off the welfare. Killing fields uptown. We live in distress and hang the flag upside down. The sound of conservative politicians on television. People in the hood are blind, so they tell us to listen. They vote for us to go to war instantly, but none of their kids serve in the infantry. The odds are stacked against us like a casino. Think about it, most of the army is black and Latino. And if you can't acknowledge the reality of my words, you just enough out on the curb trying to escape from the ghetto with your ignorant ways. But you can't read history at an illiterate stage, and you can't raise a family on minimum wage. Why do you think most of us are locked in a cage? I give the truth, cause they pride is indigent. You better off rich and guilty.
There's a little mortal technique there in the background, bringing the word La Palabra out there to the waves. You're listening to La Onda Bajita's Onda Verde 420 Café here, your marijuana variety news radio magazine, aquí with myself and Alacran and our special guest Omar Figueroa. And there's been a lot of talk here, you know, discussion about the laws and its implications. But one thing I want to ask you, Omar in particular, is, you know, what is going to happen now with the regulation and taxing? What does that mean? What kind of structure is that going to be? What impact is that going to have, you know, economically? Because right now we know that the cash crop in California is not wine. The cash crop in California, the number one cash crop is cannabis, is marijuana cultivation. You know, so what's going to happen when, let's say, the law passes and a structure gets set? What's that going to do to the small grower who's been growing for his, you know, friends, for his familia, for, you know, patients, you know, has been a caregiver and a caretaker? What happens to that small grower? There's a lot of fear and a lot of rumors circulating that the big, you know, tobacco companies like Philip Morris is ready to take the big corporate contracts and control that. What do you see happening here with all of this legalization and its implications to the economy?
If Prop 19 passes, it's going to allow cities and counties to allow for the sales and taxation of cannabis, and it's basically going to create a patchwork of green cities and green counties surrounded by brown cities and brown counties, where in the green cities, cannabis sales are going to be allowed, and that's going to be an economic engine for those localities that choose to take advantage. People are going to be driving out of the non-green cities to go purchase cannabis in the green cities, so it's going to be an economic stimulus. We're probably going to see places like Oakland become centers of cannabis distribution, and there's certainly going to be interest by the corporate types. Already they're coming out to California wanting to open up medical cannabis ventures, but what's holding them back is federal prohibition. So even if Prop 19 passes, it's not going to make it legal under federal law, and that's going to keep the corporate big tobacco, big pharma out of the ventures, because they're not going to want to really gamble their corporate earnings and their NASDAQ listing and their stock market listing if they're engaging in activity that's illegal under federal law, which means that it's going to allow small-scale family mom-and-pop producers to try to become licensed establishments. And we could see like a lot of like bars, you know, they would be coffee shops or smokeasies where cannabis consumption is permitted. And the small ones, I think, would be permitted to continue, and that once they got too big, the feds would step in. So until the federal prohibition is repealed, the feds are going to come in and harvest anybody who gets too big.
So this is where success is bad.
Yes, you get too big, the feds come in and eat you up.
And so the cannabis, is a, do you think they'll spread kind of the way the medical marijuana dispensaries did with, like you called, green and brown, where you see patients that have to drive two or three counties to be able to purchase their medicine, or when a dispensary does open up in a small community, it gets raided, and then they still have to drive out. You see that as a possibility?
That's going to be a definite possibility. People are going to be going from the conservative counties to go purchase the recreational cannabis in the municipalities that tax the sales.
And one more thing to that is some people say that instead of affecting the cannabis business, that the cannabis business actually is going to rise, because now you're going to have a lot of people that normally are recreational users that wouldn't go out and purchase something or even drive to a different county now are willing to do that because it's going to be legal for them.
It is, and the stigma is going to be gone. If Prop 19 passes, public possession of less than an ounce is no longer going to be a crime. You can walk around with your bag of cannabis flowers and it's not a crime anymore. So a lot more people are going to feel okay being public about their cannabis use.
Coming out of the closet. But let me ask you something, Omar. What effect do you think that's going to do to the medical patient that's been in need? And as we've seen, you know, there was this hope, you know, I think it was a false hope, before, the cannabis medicinal use was legalized here in California, that it would reduce the prices. But as we've seen, it really hasn't. I mean, you go to a dispensary, a lot of people, I hear lots of people complaining that you're getting, street prices and so forth. What is the legalization here going to do to the whole, pricing, of marijuana and purchasing? What do you see?
I think it's going to vastly increase the supply of cannabis, because Prop 19 would allow the personal cultivation of 25 square feet in the home. So a lot more people are going to grow for their own personal medical use. With an increased supply, I think this demand might increase, but maybe not as much. I don't know how the pricing is going to play out. It's going to be the intersection of supply and demand, and I think the supply will definitely increase.
And do you think that's going to have effect on the price of marijuana as it is now?
Yes, if the demand stays the same and the supply increases, the price is going to drop drastically. But there's some speculation that if Prop 19 passes, there's going to be a lot of ganja tourism. People are going to be traveling to California from all over the country, and as a matter of fact, that is going to result in increased demand. That's why there's a lot of growers who are somewhat afraid that the bottom is going to fall out from the market, and there's people who think that's not going to happen. Demand is going to increase.
Well, with the demand increasing, there seems to be already talks about turning the California into the wine country, turning it into a cannabis country, a tourist attraction, and to open up not wineries but smokeasies, 420 cafes, to where out-of-staters are going to be coming to enjoy the flowery benefits of California, which will create a new industry in the tourist industry. Do you see that, the possibilities of that?
I see the huge possibilities in that, and it already is the number one agricultural crop in the whole state, which is amazing because California produces so many other huge crops.
Right, tomatoes, cotton, along with grapes. I mean, this is the so-called wine country, but we also know it, as Alacran will testify, is that it's also known as the Green Emerald Triangle, up here in the north, where some of the best grade A four-star cannabis on earth comes out of.
Well, I fully agree.
Well, one of the topics is, I guess we're going to be talking about green, a new kind of green economy hitting California. So it's going to be, if California does push throughout the state, so it's going to be legal for people, any adult, to fly in
let's say, from Wisconsin or from whatever dry state there is, Utah, and be able to spend a vacation, let's say, in Humboldt County, up at the Emerald Triangle Inn, or whatever the kind of business might pop out. And so that's going to increase the business, not just with the cannabis place, but all the tourism. I mean, you know, the airlines. So this could be a really big boom for California.
Absolutely. The local restaurants are going to experience a huge boom in consumption.
Munchies. How can we forget? Maybe that's where California start producing more food, more tourists, more food. So, you know, do you really think that the polls right now, the exit polls are coming out 47-48%. Do you think they're having, you know, if you somebody talks to you in person and you're on the borderline, you're really maybe you're a closet smoker or maybe you're a casual smoker, and somebody asks you how you're going to vote on 19, do you think a lot of these people are saying, oh no, I'm not going to vote for it, just because the stigma that's still there as a cannabis user or perceived cannabis user, as opposed to somebody, you know, calls you up on a phone poll, and then you can be more honest because you're not there?
Yes, I think that they've noticed what they call the reverse Bradley effect, where people are more honest.
The Snoop Dogg effect.
Yes, the Snoop Dogg effect. When they're talking to an automated machine, as opposed to when they're being asked person to person, do you use cannabis? Do you support cannabis? And the stigma is still there, but people are more honest when it's an anonymous poll.
And so, I mean, we've covered just about every topic that we can, except how about the incarcerated, the people that are incarcerated? I mean, you know, what's going to happen to people that have been languishing in county jails and or in prisons? I know when the state overturned the legal limits, that they said that they were illegal to set up limits, a lot of the people were released from county jails. So do you see that passing, or do you think people are still going to end up incarcerated for a crime that's no longer a crime in California?
People will still be incarcerated, unfortunately. Prop 19 is far from perfect. It does not repeal cannabis prohibition, and it does not expressly free anybody who's currently serving time on a cannabis offense. But what it will do is it will keep new people from ending up in cages.
So somebody that's sitting, you know, in a, let's say, in a, what's a typical, as an attorney, you would probably know, what's a typical term that some, let's say, a cannabis...
It's a young person who
of color.
Is selling, person of color, selling to friends to support their own cannabis use, and they get charged with possession with intent to sale because they have a couple of baggies.
Is that a felony?
Is a felony, possession for sale, and, you know, sometimes young people don't have enough money for private counsel or to bail out, and they languish in jail on charges such as this, and many times they will plead guilty even though they're not really guilty, just so that they can be sentenced to time served and they can be released on probation.
So are the majority of the cannabis laws, are those felonies in California?
Yes, most of them are. Cultivation of a single plant is considered a felony. Possession for sale of any amount is a felony. And sale of any amount is a felony. Now, California law is...
How about giving it away?
Giving it away, I was just going to bring it up. Giving away less than an ounce is a misdemeanor, no jail time. So California law actually has an incentive for sharing cannabis and giving away cannabis as opposed to selling it. So selling a gram is a felony, punishable by 4 years state prison. Giving away less than an ounce, 28.5 grams or less, is zero jail time, $100 maximum fine, and so it's better to share than to sell.
So if you're at a concert, go ahead and pass it, don't.
That's right. If somebody wants to give you money because you are generous with your cannabis, they're probably an undercover cop trying to set you up.
Makes sense. So I think we'll take another small musical break. Again, we're here at La Onda Bajita in Santa Rosa with Omar Figueroa and Miguel Molina. I am Jose Gavilan, Jose Alacran Gutierrez, and here is with Gavilan.
Welcome, Alfredo Escarnal, and also David and Omar La Casa, and we got our socio aquí, Tocayo, Tocayo Perez, and Denise Burnstick with us in the house, along with Pedro Alacran and Omar. This is Free Speech Radio, KPFA, 94.1 FM. You're listening to La Onda Bajita's Radio del Barrio Aslan's special free to presentation of the 420 Radio Café, aquí
no más. FM 94.1, KPFA 94.1 FM. Taking a music break, and then we're going to come back and wrap up this section of the Cannabis Report.
The day of the Geechee is gone, boy. And you're going with it.
Immortal technique. Metaphysics. Harlem to Chicago to LA to Toronto, Philly, Cape Town, South Africa. I never make songs to disrespect women or to judge people about the way that they living. But the way I am is based on the life I was given. Like them boys losing my religion. I used to be a Christian and a political pawn. The Bible is right and all your native culture is wrong. Next thing you know, you telling me about making a song. Come in the studio and tell me that I'm making it wrong. Pissed off cause reality is making it strong. Like the ghost of Timothy McVeigh making a bomb. Hey yo, Marvin Gaye, what's your going on? These rap made propaganda out of your song, but it's the Gong Show, amateur night at the Apollo.
This is Free Speech Radio, KPFA 94.1 FM. And now we're going to continue the conversation here, but we're going to look at here at the existing businesses and what effect is this going to have with regulation and taxation, and also touch upon what does this mean for the industrial hemp farmer. Alacran.
Well, so in California we have a series, some people say maybe 9 to 1,000 existing cannabis businesses, i.e. dispensaries or home delivery services. What do you think, 19, how is this going to affect, how do you think this is going to affect those businesses that already exist?
It's going to give those businesses an incentive to get licensed and become licensed establishments. And it's also going to give a greater degree of legitimacy to those businesses. So it's going to attract businesses to those municipalities that choose to regulate and tax the sale of cannabis.
So which municipalities are the ones that have the best current cannabis laws?
Probably Oakland.
But it only has 4 dispensaries.
Yes, and
San Francisco across the bay has 19, 20, 22. I'm not sure what the numbers are.
Yes, and I think the word best, maybe it has like the most developed to take advantage of Prop 19 if it passes. There's a lot of municipalities that could have their own local ordinances that are a little bit behind the ball. You know, they need to start thinking and planning what's going to happen very soon when Prop 19 passes.
So in Oakland, now, in Oakland, you said that they're set up, so they have, what, how many licenses do they have right now for dispensaries?
I think there's a limit of four, which is a monopoly. They're granting a monopoly to these four businesses and, in my opinion, stifling free enterprise.
And how many are they going to give out? How many permits are they going to give for grow-ops or that type of business?
I think it remains to be determined, but they want to have a limited number of permits in order to foster competition.
And how much do those permits cost? I know the license itself is a quarter of a million, but the permit itself is like $5,000 or something like that. Is that?
That sounds right.
And so let's talk about, let's say, so there's a lot of people who would probably throw $5,000 into have a cannabis business in Oakland and sign up. But what happens to the applicants that don't get their permit out of the four? When you submit all that paperwork, where's that paperwork go? It becomes public record, doesn't it?
It normally becomes a public record, and it's open to public inspection by federal law enforcement.
So, how is a person going to protect himself, let's say, if they apply for a permit and don't end up with it? I mean, there isn't any protection. Is that what you're trying to say?
There's no protection under state law. Nobody has protection under federal law. Let's assume somebody applies for a Prop 19 permit to the city of Oakland. They get their permit. That does not shield them from federal investigation or federal prosecution.
I see. And how do you think the federal government is going to react under this administration, knowing what Obama had said during his campaign, that he would stay out of medical marijuana states, and now if California becomes a Prop 19 state? What is your gut feeling how the federal government will react to these new changes in the marijuana prohibition?
I think they're going to be hostile towards it, and there's going to be a federal crackdown. It may not happen in this administration, but if Obama does not get reelected, I think there will be a big federal crackdown like we've seen before. So anybody who is a medical cannabis patient or anybody who believes in cannabis law reform has to think seriously about the possibility that we may have a Republican administration rolling back all the progress that we've seen. And the progress we've seen hasn't been much. The federal law has not been changed. All that has been changed is the stated federal enforcement policy. But the law still needs to be reformed.
And that's the other thing. There are some people that are working on reclassifying marijuana itself and getting it out of the, is it class one?
Right now it's classified as a Schedule One controlled substance, and it has supposedly no known accepted medical value, except the federal government does give medical cannabis to people.
And as a Schedule One, that falls with the same as opiates, correct?
And even some opiates are Schedule Two. So cocaine, Schedule Two, opium, Schedule Two, because they have some medical use. Cannabis is treated the same as heroin with no medical use whatsoever.
So where's the fight to reschedule? I mean, where is that at? I know that Normal was working on that for a while, and so where did that end up?
That litigation has been going on for decades, and you know, now it seems to be slightly stalled out.
Let me ask you something, Omar. You're listening to La Ondas Verdes 420 Café. Yo soy Gavila Molina. I'm here with Alacran. And our special guest, Omar Figueroa, one of the most forceful voices in legal advocacy of the legalization and the lifting of prohibition of marijuana. Omar, you know, we've looked at the kind of the whole scale, Alacran, you know, from state, national, on the legal limitations and economic, effects it's going to have. But let me ask you this. What does this mean for the agricultural grower
who wants to do industrial cannabis, industrial hemp. And for those that are looking at not necessarily the medicinal recreational use, but actually using it as a food source, there are 100 different ones, ways of applying industrial cannabis, which isn't necessarily medicinal or for recreational use. But what does this law, what effect is that going to have to those farmers?
It's going to be a huge effect, and it's going to theoretically allow municipalities to allow for industrial hemp cultivation, production, and processing. So we could start seeing hemp fiber, hemp foods. Those would all be legal under state law. Currently, they're not legal under state law. Under federal law, again, the federal law would not change. So probably what would happen is there would be small-scale industrial hemp activity, but there would never be anything that is on a massive, organized corporate scale because the federal government would step in.
So if industrial hemp starts being produced, wouldn't that really put a fear into the medical cannabis and cannabis recreational users because of the pollen cross-contamination? I mean, so you can only grow cannabis in the northern part and hemp in the southern part? I mean, how are we going to work this out? I mean, this is what's going to happen when stuff like this happens? Because I know when I get
I think it's, as a practical matter, going to drive a lot of medical and commercial growers indoors because that's the only way that they can control what kind of pollen their plants are exposed to.
And so the current hemp seeds, I mean, for the snacks and the oils and everything, so they're coming from outside the country then?
That's right, mainly Canada and Eastern Europe. And I think China is now getting involved.
And how closely regulated are those industries in those countries?
In Canada, they're pretty tightly regulated because it's highly profitable.
In China?
In China, I think, well, China, as regulated as their regulations are enforced, which is...
Yeah, okay, enough said. So... I think we're going to take our last musical break. Again, this is Jose Alacran Gutierrez con Miguel Gavilan Molina and Omar Figueroa. Before we go, Omar, how about your email and your information? Where can people contact you if they have questions or an unfortunate case where, like this time of year, they get a visit from, let's say, somebody that's not as friendly?
Well, if you get a visit from law enforcement, I would advise you to stand up for your constitutional rights. Say, I want to remain silent. I want to speak to an attorney, and I do not consent to any search and seizure. And you can contact me at omarfigueroa.com, and you can Google my name, Omar, marijuana lawyer, easy.